This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you if people send you the same generic conversation starters they message everyone else? Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
My doctor would be like, okay, so I'm going to need to see you in a follow-up in 17 days.
Yeah. Welcome to the My Print Story podcast. I'm your host, Dana Marshall. Today, we're talking to Dude. I bumped into Dude at a store one day. He recognized me because of my crazy hair and my Prince t-shirt. He's a musician, a great guy, and a huge Prince fan. Here's my conversation with Dude. Dude, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Now, let's first talk about the name Dude.
Okay.
So you're saying that I call you Dude. This is your name.
I'm anonymous.
You're like Prince. You're mysterious with a one name situation, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's my real name. It's all I go by. And, it's a cool name. People say, is that your stage name? And I say, yeah, but I was born with it. So
now one of my favorite things to talk about to start every episode of My Prince Story is how did we meet? And you and I have one of my favorite stories so far about how we met. Do you remember?
To be honest, I feel like we've met long, long ago, but somehow through 103. But I know that my most recent recollection is meeting you as we were walking in and out of the store, you going one way and me going the other way, and you had a great Prince shirt on. And I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the Emancipation Tour shirt, or maybe it was one you got in Minneapolis more recently.
Yeah, you stopped me as I was walking in and you were walking out. And for me, it was like the biggest ego trip ever. You're like, wait, I love that Prince shirt. Then you're like, Dana Marshall? I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to tell everybody for the next 10 years that somebody just recognized me at Walmart. That's happening. That was my ego stroke for the year. I loved it.
Did you mention the store? Do they get like a, kickback?
They should. Just for fun, we're going to beep the name of the store out because they don't deserve it.
For sure.
You've always had the coolest hair. And I remember for a very long time, I don't think, was it purple when we met? I don't think it was purple when we met, though. But a lot of times, you have this purple mohawk going on, right?
Yeah, it might have been purple or it might have been another color. I think it might have been fading from one of my colors, but yeah. And anyway, you have the cool hair, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not saying I ripped it off from you, but yeah. I'm assuming you are a lifelong Prince fan, right?
I was a senior in high school when I first saw him live. I knew the songs, 1999 and Little Red Corvette. I was a fan of 1999 when it was first released, and then, of course, after Little Red Corvette became a hit, they re-released 1999. But the first time around that 1999 came out, I loved it. I was like, this is so cool. The synth sounds, were amazing. And I, fell in love with just the whole feel of it. It was kind of a mix of sort of like R&B and new wave. And it felt so fresh and new. And, that Lynn drum and everything. And so I loved those songs. I got the album, I think, as soon as the album was released, I bought it, and I think that was November of 82, and then November 27th. Not that I remember the exact date, but I'm pretty sure that was it. And then, to be honest, of course, I saw him then March 13th of 83, which was spring, my senior year. Yeah.
Oh, the Purple Rain Tour?
Yeah. Wayne Stadium. I saw Vanity 6 open for The Time, and The Time open for Prince right there in Kalamazoo.
I am so jealous. Every time I meet somebody that said, oh, yeah, my first Prince show was Morris Day and the Time of Vanity 6. I just lose my mind. That's a big show that's even mentioned in a recent book with Dwayne Tudall about Wings Event Center. Well, back then it was called Wings Stadium. That big concert. Oh my God, what I have given to see that show.
That exact show is mentioned in his book?
Yes, it is.
You're kidding. That's so cool.
If you haven't gotten the book, and he should pay me advertising for this, get the book. It is so okay. It's long, but it's worth every minute you spend in it. I love it.
Well, I just pulled out about five that I don't have. There's a lot that I don't have, but I have a lot of the music, pretty much all the music, even some of the collectibles, as I like to call them, the stuff that somehow, you know, trickled out of the studios. But there's Prince Before the Rain, and then there's Prince Private View by Afshin Shahidi, and then Prince The Last Interview, which I actually just got from the Chicago Public Library. Let's Go Crazy by Alan Light, and then there was another one. But anyway, there's five different books here that I was looking at the store. Oh, Prince Inside the Music and Mass by Ronan Rowe. But yeah, and then I got the old, what is it called? Something 21 Nights or something.
Right, yeah.
I got that from the public library too. So I have those two. But you know, Chicago Public Library is great. They've got a lot of print stuff. So little by little, I'm checking it out, you know?
Was there a moment where, I know this is true for myself and I like to project it onto others. There's a moment for me where, of course, I got pulled in during Purple Rain, but then Around the World in a Day and Parade, those albums were really what really got me. But sure. It was probably around 86 when I made the decision, I'm going to go back in time and buy all the old Prince albums I can find.
Right.
Did that happen with you? And if so, when?
Well, so interestingly, you know, as soon as I saw him live at Wings, that was the time. I'd known since I was 7 years old I wanted to be a songwriter. But when I saw him, then it was like, oh no, what I want to be is a singer, songwriter, performer, producer, all around visual artist, kind of, you know. I mean, it was the whole aesthetic that just completely drew me in. I was fifth in line with a girl from my high school. They did a general admission, believe it or not, and I was fifth in line. We got there, I think, at 2 p.m. and it was a Sunday, and the 1, 2, 3, you know, the first, second, third people in line, one of them was named Crystal, and it was her sister and her sister's boyfriend, and I ended up dating that girl named Crystal. So I moved out of my parents' house when I was still 17, right there in May of my senior year, right as soon as the school year came to an end, and she moved in with me, and she had the older album. So she introduced me, the first one she introduced me to was the second album, Prince. Mm-hmm. And then the next one she brought over, she kept bringing over the vinyl, you know, one by one. The next one she brought over was Dirty Mind, and then she went back and brought over For You. And so that was the point. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I need to get them all. So I went backward in time and, you know, checked out those albums, bought them. And then from Purple Rain on, I was at the record store, the Recostel, every single day. Literally on the day of, you know, release.
Absolutely.
At the store every day for the entire run, all the way through to the very end. There was not one album that I missed where I was there, you know, waiting at the store or at least getting there the first day it was out.
Now, I'm going to sound like an old man here, but kids will never understand the joy of album release day was always Tuesday for some reason. So, record stores would do a special Monday at midnight. You could legally get the new album, so we would stand in line at midnight at a record store on Monday nights. I miss that so much. That was so much fun.
The only thing they could relate to is that, you know, the Thursday night movie thing, because you know, that's kind of a thing still for people seeing the midnight movie. But yeah, exactly. I mean, it was just so exciting. I hit a few of those, but a lot of times it was just, you know, I was there at stores that didn't open till that next morning, till the, you know, the actual morning of the release. But yeah, always day of release. I got every album, you know, for the rest of his career and life. Yeah.
All right. So tell us a little bit about Dude. So what do you do?
Well, I'm a singer-songwriter, producer, performer, et cetera, et cetera. Do some DJ work too. I had a residency here at a bar for about 10 months. You know, I did some on-air stuff there at the college station, both back in the 80s, in 84 and 85. Shared a show with a friend of mine who had a show at Wider. And then I went back as an alumni DJ and was there maybe 2012 through 14, or almost 2015, so a couple of years.
Yeah, and Wider is a college radio station for Western Michigan University. I actually snuck on to that station once as a high school student in order to make a fake demo so I could get a job at the radio station I currently work at.
That is a great story.
And they let me in. What kind of madness is that? You know, but
oh no, it used to be so like loosey goosey. The things that went on in that studio back in that day.
Yeah. It was not a great studio. So, are you from Kalamazoo, Michigan originally? Where are you from?
I'm not. I was born in Chicago. My family moved around all over upstate New York, a couple different places in Illinois. We lived in a small town in upper Michigan, right across from the Thumb. And then as I was just about to enter my sophomore year in high school, my father got a position at Kalamazoo. So moved to the Kalamazoo area as a sophomore in high school and spent my last 3 years of high school there. And then immediately a couple years later, after leaving high school, I went and lived in Chicago on my own as an adult for the first time, and then have been in Chicago on and off my whole life. I also lived in Mexico for 3 years. I lived in Brazil for a summer.
No kidding.
Backpacked around Europe for a summer. So I've really been fortunate. I've visited a lot of great places, in the world, with still a long list, a wish list to go. But Mexico was great. 3 years down there, I went on a travel study program through the junior college, and my first time in Puerto Vallarta, and then I loved it and went back as a teacher to Mexico City and spent a summer in Brazil because of a Brazilian partner. I don't really want to go into that drama, but it was pretty cool to be there in Brazil. And so
do you think...
I like Kalamazoo, though. It's a good city.
I love Kalamazoo, but Chicago, honestly, is my favorite city I've ever been to.
I love it here. I love it here so much.
Being a songwriter and music producer, which, by the way, we're going to have links to your CD Baby and your music on Spotify in the show notes.
People
can find that at myprincepodcast.com. Is your music impacted? This is a dumb question. Is your music impacted by Prince? I should say, how is your music impacted by Prince?
yeah, definitely. I mean, aside from the broader picture of just being, influenced by him to become like, to kind of go into that whole thing and create like a whole vision. In 12 years, I put out 15 albums with a couple different songwriting partners there in Kalamazoo, and a couple solo albums as well, extended remixes and such. But, I would say that it's kind of funky, dancey. That would be one Prince influence, definitely a blend of genres that kind of, I want to sort of create like new sounds and new feels of vibes, new, kind of recipes where you might hear like a sitar in one song or Middle Eastern percussion in another song, but it's woven into like a pop-ish, soulful R&B kind of thing. So definitely in the way that he liked to sort of synthesize his own vibe that was like a his own print sound. I think that that's something I've tried to create, is like a dude sound,
Right.
Kind of a similar vibe. Lyrics wise, as far as like sowing ideas of spirituality and sexuality and love and God and celebrating the body, celebrating sort of the more metaphysical stuff.
Prince also has definitely made us all a little more spiritual and a little more dirty, don't you think? I mean, let's be honest. I kind of blame Prince for that.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, that's part of the whole human condition. Our thing here on Earth is that we have that all of those things as a part of who we are, and I love how stretch our minds in that way.
I'm just going to put it out there. When people say, hey, listen to my music, even though I'm a radio guy, I feel really uncomfortable with that, because what if it sucks? You know what I'm saying? Like, they're like, hey, check this out. Tell me what you're thinking. I'm like, oh no, please no. So I was so surprised when I listened to your music, because so many people ask me to, and it's almost always 99% of the time, not a good situation. Right. Not only was your music surprisingly good, and that sounds like a backhanded compliment, but it's not. But also, I did get that there were some songs that felt kind of house, some trance, but there was a very world feel to all of it. Oh, it did feel very, really cool. I don't want to use the word international, like the word world. It had this world vibe that I really dug, and I didn't expect that. I assumed you were from Kalamazoo, and I'm like, how much world would you know from Kalamazoo?
Right.
But you definitely have a blend of a lot of that in there.
Well, there are plenty of cosmopolitan people such as yourself who have experienced the world in different ways, whether traveling or through meeting people and that sort of thing. But you're right. I think that having been born in Chicago and having lived around the world, I mean, Brazilian music impacted me hugely. That was a big, big deal for me when I went down there and got the vibe of Brazilian music, because it's such it's its own thing, And the same when I lived in Mexico, Latin music, impacted me heavily, like Luis Miguel and Paulina Rubio, and even some of Banda stuff that you hear blaring out of people's cars. It sounds like polka music. And that's like all that stuff, you know, I, in one way or another, planted these different seeds that hopefully have grown into a beautiful, beautiful musical garden.
As far as Prince albums go, it's hard for me to say the word album. If you want to buy an album, where would you go?
Right.
As far as Prince albums go, what's that one album? And, you know, this obviously changes for all of us huge Prince fam as time goes on. What I say would be my album this week probably will not be my album next week. But is there one of those albums that from beginning to end, just you just feel like is completely connected to your soul?
Absolutely. I mean, my first one that I really just, you know, explored him through, which is 1999, everything from the beginning to the end. I used to play the albums out of sequence because I like the song Free so much, and I wish he had ended the album on Free instead of International Lover. Actually, Free is my all-time favorite Prince song.
Everything
he's ever done. Yeah. But I love that album for that reason, because it was my first. I also think it's just a brilliant, brilliant album in so many ways. Another one that comes to mind is his very last, or not his last one, I always feel like it's his last masterpiece, which is Artificial Age. Huge fan of that. Everything about it, I think, is just so captivating and hypnotic.
Hypnotic.
And all
I love that. Hypnotic is a great way to put that. Prince has always done a lot with those segues between songs, but there was something about the way he did it with this album that felt different to me. It was so futuristic, but it wasn't futuristic in like a campy, cheesy way. It was very different. That's one of those albums you can't sleep on. You kind of forget about it because of all of his work. But
exactly.
I agree with you. That is a killer album. The vibe, just the feel from the whole thing.
I like his concept albums. I like the ones that have tons of segues, and that, you know, that's really like from beginning to end. You can't really play it unless you put the needle on the record, as I like to say, and, you know, go all the way to the end. Another one for me that a lot of people, I think, I get a lot of flack for this, because apparently it's not a fave among other fam, but I love Raven to the Joy Fantastic. And I think that's one where, you know, from start to finish, it just feels so, I don't know, something about that one really I love.
He did a lot of collaboration on that album too. He had Sheryl Crow. I think did he have Gwen Stefani on that one?
He did. He had Gwen Stefani. He covered the, what was her name? She did What If God Was One of Us.
The Joan Osborne cover, that's on Emancipation.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, One of Us. But he also, he's got Eve, the rapper Eve, on that album.
Oh, Eve's on. And actually Sheryl Crow sings on Baby Knows. I think they sing together. If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
There's a lot of collaboration on that one. Absolutely. And I really like that vibe. Oh, Chuck D's on it.
Oh, that's right. Chuck D from Public Enemies on that album. That must be his biggest as far as collaborations with vocalists of any of his albums.
Yeah. And then the guy who used to be in Sly and the Family Stone, I saw him perform with Prince the last time I saw him, which was the musicology tour.
Oh, Larry Graham?
Larry Graham, but then who was the brass player? He did a... I'm forgetting. But anyway, he was on that last song, Pretty Man. Yeah, and I forget the guy who's playing. He was in James Brown's band, maybe? Anyway, he's the older brass guy. He plays like sax or trumpet or something. I can't remember his name, but he's on that too.
I'm going to have to revisit the album. That's one of those albums, like you said, it's not popular with Prince fam, but as we talk about it, I wonder why I haven't spent more time with it.
Emancipation too, to me, is genius. I think that triple album is amazing.
Oh, for sure. I love the up-tempo club feel. I want to say it's disc 3, which one of the discs that's got Slave and New World.
Yeah.
Disc 2 is
kind of like the chill.
Yeah. Disc 3 has this, like, if you want Prince music to work out too, that's the one you're going to play.
So true.
But yeah. Disc 2 has One of Us, Joan Osborne, one of the best covers I've ever heard.
It's so great.
Yeah.
It's so great. And I never thought he'd do covers. And the one that I thought was the cheesiest, now I actually love it. But what's the Stylistics one?
La 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 Means I Love You.
Yeah. And I mean, I love that now. And it's like, oh, it almost sounds like Prince wrote it. You know, I saw him twice on that tour. So my 7 tours are 1999, then I saw him, well, 1 year later, fourth or fifth day of the opening run in Detroit on the Purple Rain tour. So I got to see Apollonia 6 open for him, and Sheila E. opened as well. And it's my second one. Then I saw him twice on the Love Sexy tour. I saw him in Chicago, and I saw him in Detroit. And then twice on the Emancipation tour. Then the last tour I saw him on was in 2003 at Glendale Arena in Arizona. And I think that was his third day of the tour. It was like the third. I think it opened in California, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I've also seen Prince 7 times. And one thing that they all had in common, he would play for like 3 or 4 hours with no warm-up band. Like, the show started, it was Prince, and Prince played for hours. He would do a double or a triple encore, depending how he felt. Then, if you were lucky, and one time I was lucky, and I found out where the after show was going to be, and I caught him at the after show, where he played for hours. Cool. Yeah. That was in Chicago, the last time I saw him. It was the Welcome to Chicago tour, and afterwards, he was at the House of Blues, and
you're kidding.
I was right up at the stage. I got to, oh my God. I consumed so much Prince that night that I literally.
That's so awesome.
I had to take a break.
I'm envious.
Like, I had to take a break. I must have gone a week and I just couldn't listen to Prince for a while. My cup was full. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't do anymore. It was.
Your purple cup.
Yeah. And I mean it nothing but love. It was just like, it was just overwhelming, but I had to like take a break.
Sure.
What an incredible show it was, too. He brought up, what's her name, Jennifer Hudson, formerly of American Idol, and they did Nothing Compares to You together. Oh, what an amazing show that was. Seeing Prince in concert, nobody will ever compare to that. I tell people all the time, if you missed it, you missed out, and that sucks, but yeah, 7 shows for both of us. What a great number to see Prince. Am I right? 7?
I know, perfect, yeah.
I mean,
he was all about numbers, and you know, that's one of the things I loved about him. He's kind of created this sort of mysticism that was like his own purple, like, you know, religion. You know, numbers all had like significance, and when you put numbers in lyrics, you're kind of creating this mystery, you know, that's sort of like, you know, people maybe don't necessarily get it. Maybe it meant something to him, but there's, you know, it's just that kind of draws you in, like, what's going on here?
And we forever have that with us, right? Like, if you stay at a hotel and you're in room 319, how freaking happy are you, right?
And does it always come up for you? Always. For me.
Oh yeah. Like, 3121, or just if it's 319 on my phone, I'm excited. I'm like, oh, I caught it when it was 319. It's ridiculous.
My doctor would be like, okay, so I'm going to need to see you in a follow-up in 17 days.
Yeah. It means something to us. Everybody else is just like, dude, get over it. No, I'm not going to get over it.
Or they don't get it. They're like, okay, whatever.
It is amazing. Not only was his music so powerful and he was in control of it in a way that we just don't understand, but also this guy could be identified by a symbol and by a color, and then all of these different songs we identify in a way with like everything in our lives, like the 319 thing. No one else could ever do that. Pink, her name is a color.
Right.
If someone's wearing the color pink, you don't just automatically assume, oh, you're a pink man.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, exactly.
But if you're wearing purple, you better believe it.
I wanted to mention, you know, we were talking about special times when you were talking about your after show. That's something I always wanted to do. I did get the opportunity, kind of the I can die now moment of my life, is that sixth occasion I got to see him. It was Emancipation show at Grand Rapids Van Andel Arena. Mm-hmm. And it was a sold out show, and I got to dance on stage with him. I got to be one of the half dozen pulled up, you know, on stage during the encore, lights up, looking out at an entire, you know, packed floor, and I got to dance, and he was sort of the judge of our little dance contest, walking by with his guitar and sizing each of us up as he'd stop in front of us. And when he got to me, I mean, I can throw down. Okay, so you have to understand, I grew up learning breakdancing in upstate New York. Had a little disco in my basement, and Rerun From What's Happening was like my thing. So anyway, so he got to me, you know, and I had to do it. So I did my splits where, you know, the Prince splits where you go down on one side with the one knee bent, and then you flip it to bending the other knee and go to the other side. And I kind of spun up to standing, and I did it, pulled it out, you know, of my bag of tricks the minute he walked by. So he looks over at me and does one of those, you know, like Bela Lugosi look faces, you know, lips pursed and eyes like big as saucers. And he looked at me, and then he looked out at the audience, and he stuck his thumb back toward me, and the audience went crazy. So that was like, you know, okay, Prince approves. I'm okay.
That is a great Prince moment. I love that.
Thank you.
Can you still do the splits?
I've been losing weight recently, and I'm hoping to run my first K this summer, maybe. So get back to me on that.
Okay. Now, back in the day, for me, it was hammer pants, and I used to be able to do the splits and spin back up, but those days are long gone. There are no more splits in my future.
Oh, you never know.
We all know how much you and I love Prince, but who would be your second favorite artist? Like, if you're choosing someone, if you can't listen to Prince, who's your next go-to?
Oh, fast for me to Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Yeah, I love Chaka Khan. I feel like she the world's best ever female vocalist, and you know, Chicago born, so got that going for her. Her voice to me is, you know, it's a cello when it's low, and it's a alto sax when it's high, and you know, she's just she can sing jazz, like on that crazy jazz album she did with, you know, Chick Corea and all those other jazz people, Echoes of an Era. It's kind of a, you know, hidden away. She wasn't even featured as far as like the, it was just called Echoes of an Era. It wasn't even by anyone. It was Echoes of an Era by Echoes of an Era. I remember one reviewer saying, what would the world be like if she had chosen jazz as her main genre? Because she just has that, the bebop, like scat kind of vibe, vamp vibe thing she does. And so yeah, she would be my favorite.
And you know, her 70s R&B stuff was a giant influence for Prince.
I know. There's that whole story about him pretending he was someone else.
Yes.
And having her come by the studio. They were
and
both in the same, like, complex.
She was pissed. She did not find like, funny in it at all.
She wasn't feeling it. And then, of course, she, you know, fell in love with him as much as he was in love with her. So that ended well. But, yeah, it wasn't a good start.
I love that. I love that Prince just pranked so many people in his life. You know, it didn't always go well. But he just had this weird thing. I heard a story, and I'm stealing this from a Minnesota radio podcast or NPR station, The Current, over there. There was a gentleman doing some work at Paisley Park for Prince. And at one point, he took a nap. And when he woke up, Prince was in the room with him. It was a big room. He's asleep on the couch, and Prince is in a chair on the other side of the room holding a big gold phone. And this guy says there was no phone in there when he fell asleep. And so then, when he looked over at him, Prince picked up the phone and called somebody and was mumbling into the phone. And then this guy's phone started ringing, his cell phone, and Prince is telling his manager what he wants his manager to tell the guy to do on the couch. He won't talk to him directly. He's just sitting there talking to him on the gold phone. And I thought, of course. Like, I'm not surprised by the story at all.
That's so convoluted. That is really, really funny. I had not heard that one, but he had such a great sense of humor, and people thought he gave shade a lot, and I think he did, but I always think that the shade he gave was like out of love, sort of, you know, like it was just him being funny and silly, and you know, I don't think he ever gave shade like because it was malice in his heart or anything like that. And I know some people like to use like these gifts that they make out of just this one moment where he's snarling or whatever.
Exactly.
He's looking over on the, I think it's the Tavis Smiley Show, and he looks over at the camera with the big eyes. He's got the purple, like, well, that doesn't narrow it down.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. And he was making fun of people that lip sync. That's what that face is. But whoever is making all the Prince gifts lately, high fives to all of them because they have been killing me.
All the memes. There's some good ones. The black sweat one that's ripe for the picking for gifts. You know, I do want to mention one thing. When I saw Chaka Khan on her CK tour in 88, that's the first album that Prince had songs on. Sticky Wicked and Eternity were on that she recorded. He was up in the balcony when I saw her perform, and always thought that was kind of cool. It's the Riviera Club in Chicago.
So he's just chilling back watching the show like the rest of us.
Yep. He was digging his Chaka Khan, you know, and it was her first gig of the tour, and I got to hold her hand while she opened with the song, the Signed, Sealed, Delivered cover of Stevie Wonder that she put out as a single, and she held my hand through almost the whole song.
Whoa.
To the point where it kind of got awkward, and I was sort of like, this is amazing, but you know, I feel like I need to let go of your hand, Chaka.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. Anyway,
I guess you can say she feels for you.
Yeah. Nice.
Hashtag dad jokes. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. No, that's good.
Well, dude, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me today. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Well, how fun to talk about Prince, and I love what you're doing with this this focus. I think it's going to be a really successful podcast.
Get show notes, pictures, and more info on My Prince Story at MyPrincePodcast.com. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at My Prince Podcast. My Prince Story is recorded in my cozy Prince basement in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many rogues that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.